everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Capes and Commentaries podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and with me, as always, my good old bestest buddy in the whole wide world, Nasty Nate Kennedy.
Hello.
How the hell are you tonight, dude?
Well, I'm doing okay, but it's starting to really sink in that these last 18 days I've had off for the company-wide shutdown at my job is going to come back and bite me in the ass because I get to go back to work tomorrow. And I just got the text from Emily that I guess she's on her way. So
tell her just hang around outside for a while.
We'll be done in about 45 minutes.
Tell her to hang tight.
But no, I'm dreading going back. I'm not looking forward to just the plethora of idiocracy that I have to withstand on a daily basis. I imagine I'll be there maybe 30 minutes, and I'll be like, all right, I'm tired of looking at these people. Can I get 18 more days off? So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure I'll text you and be like, oh, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, God. I hate my life. I hate my job, but I feel great. Yeah, I'm going to go pick a fight.
And I showed Tyler beforehand, because he can't really see me on this, but I popped by my local Walmart. They had one left on the shelf. Got Soundwave here, $50, so... that's a good dent into your wallet. And with the Thundercat Super 7, it's been confirmed that they are going to be going along. We're going to get quite a few figures. Figures. There we go. That's a tongue twister for you.
Yeah, I was so relieved to see that because that's all I needed to hear. And it doesn't matter to me when they announce it, but just someone's 16 figures are planned forward in time. That's all we needed to know. And that puts all stress at ease. Well, no more stress. Well, I don't need to worry.
Who all do you have right now from the Maddie line?
I got all of them.
Well, how many were released?
They did a Comic-Con exclusive of Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. They did Pumara, Panthro, Mumra, Jackalman, and Lino.
Okay. So you just have to get past this first wave and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's why I was so disgruntled. And I saw somebody, because Kevin, our buddy Kevin Sharp posted, that's how I found out about it. And I read somebody said, oh, now all those crybabies can, you know, shut up. And I'm like, who the hell is this jerk off? Like, you know, everybody's got a right to be upset that led to believe that, oh, they're restarting again. You know, because I feel like that's kind of the norm with a lot of these lines. It's just over again, and it's the same group again. Even though Thundercats has never really been given like a fair shake. But I thought, what an asshole. Even though he's entitled to his opinion, but opinions like assholes. Everyone's got one. But his was dumb.
Hopefully not a listener or follower of any of the podcasts that we do.
I really don't care. Because if they listen to this podcast, this one or Fans Apart, they know how disgruntled I am about the idea that when these lines are, hey, we're starting up again. But here are the same characters again. It's just frustrating, right? You know, because you want to feel like you can be part of the action and support it as well. I mean, if it was something that, you know, they were going to release these ultimate versions, much like with the Mojo Classics, you know, like the vintage style card back. And they were going to do that with Thundercats with the black card, with the chrome lettering and the Battlematic action kind of logo. And then on the back, you've got like this nice colorful background. With the characters and the Thundercats and their allies, and you've got the evil mutants and all those guys, like that'd be really cool. But 16 figures, which I think it's safe to say, you know, Tigra, Chitara, Bengali, probably Pumaira again, Lynxo, all four of the mutants from Vulture Man to Monkey and to Slythe, maybe Rotaro, maybe Groon, maybe Jaga, maybe one of the Berserkers, maybe one of the Lunatics, finally, maybe one of the Burbles. It's just there's so many possible. Hell, it could be one of the unreleased Berserkers, like Cannon Blaster, and I forgot what the other one was. There's like two of them, I think. But 16 figures, that's really damn good. So here's hoping that next week, or is it? No, it'd be this weekend. This weekend at PowerCon.
Yeah.
Super 7 will be there and announce, like, or at least throw hints at like the first brand new four group of figures that are coming out, you know, just something. But hey, I'm perfectly happy with just knowing 16 figures were coming, and I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. I, so. I guess I'll pre-order that first wave here in the next week or so. I got to wait to get paid again and get some funds flowing.
Since when do you need to wait to get paid?
Flowing.
You don't know hardship.
I got to get some money flowing back into my account again. And then I'll pull the trigger on those, because that's probably easily going to be like $200.
Oh, yeah. But I'd like to think if all are going to be shipping at the same time, you're going to, you know, it'll be 50. I guess it's like for super, it always feels like it's a flat rate, $15 to ship no matter what.
All right,
what
so
it is.
$195 may as well be $200.
Yeah. It might as well, yes, be $200 for all those figures. So, but at least you get the option of open mouths.
Yeah. just another extra head that I got to toss into my little plastic divider for all the accessories. Like, accessories are great with figures and shit, but I don't need like 27 different hands and 4 different heads and all, because all I do with those is just they go into a bin altogether. Very rarely change out anything on my figures. I put it with the way that I want to, and then I'm done with it. I don't go back and I'm like, well, what if I do this instead? Very rarely does that happen.
I don't do that because most of these figures are so easily, they break so easily, like whether it's DECA, and I'm not running the risk of doing that with the He-Man figures. Yeah. Like I find the head, and you know, if the hands need to hold something, I put those hands in and that's it. They're not being touched. The figures go in a bag. I'm just building up a collection of just body parts that I'll never use, but I don't have the heart to like just discard them.
Oh, yeah,
for
no,
the sake
no, no.
of, you know.
I mean, I guess if anything, we could take up, just send everything to Joe and he can just use those, right?
Yeah, and then he could just buy me a tank on TeePublic with one of those prints and just send it to me because I'm sending him all these body parts, you know, it's compensation.
There we go.
Or something like that, though. But yeah, good news about Thundercat. So it's nice to hear something pretty legit. So, but I'm also not going to expect big reveals at PowerCon, because I feel like anytime something we're expecting announcement, like we got nothing back in February in a very lackluster, forgettable reveal at San Diego. So I'd be very shocked to see anything
for
the good people at PowerCon. I mean, I would hope so. It would be nice to see something meat and juicy to be excited about, but probably not. So I'll probably still get upset because you just feel like, damn it, man.
Right.
Yeah. Show me something.
Just anything, please.
Yeah. I mean, my taxes pay your all salaries. You know, give us something, damn it. You know, I'm the reason that this toy line is still around, and Nathan and Joe and everybody else. We deserve pictures or something, a roadmap, you know, not just, you know.
Even if it's just a prototype, no coloring to it. It can just be a gray computer 3D model. Just let me know that something's coming.
Or just give me the names of the first four or the names of who's coming. You don't show me anything. Just tell me these are locked in. We just they're not ready yet, right, or something like that, you know. So,
well,
just something to help me sleep at night.
Let's move on from the toy talk. And Tyler, go ahead and lead us into the episode that we're doing today. We're going back to G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Give us a little follow into this.
Yeah, we're going to do the first part to the Serpentor miniseries that brings him about and brings him into the main show, and also it coincides with what's going on in the comic books as well. If you were reading the comic book series when this was going on, they're both coinciding with each other. The comic book storyline's a bit different than this one. Not drastically different, but like Sergeant Slaughter's not a pivotal part at all. And it's in Serpentor's created as like a warrior in the comics to serve Cobra as opposed to a new leader, which I thought was kind of interesting. Because as a kid, I never got to see a Rise Serpentor Rise. The VHS was not made available, and I never saw the five-parter played on TV at all.
Well, I was going to say, like with the VHS, did it include all five parts, or did they have it split up between multiple releases?
No. I think it was just all five episodes on one tape.
Well, I guess if you think about it, that would be, a little over 100 minutes. So, yeah, I guess that could all easily fit on a VHS tape.
Yeah, so. Because the 87 movies, you know, about 90 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah, it would have fit perfectly on a tape, which probably would have been like the the biggest like VHS release of episodes, because most of the G.I. Joe tapes back then only had one episode.
Yeah, I always hated that with just most of the properties. You either got one episode or two.
There were
hardly ever more than that.
There were a couple of He-Man releases. There were two VHS tapes that had five episodes.
Damn.
And there was a couple of She-Ra releases that had five episodes. But for the most part, it was either one or two, and that was it. So, like, I think Transformers had one episode. Thundercats sometimes would have two, typically one. And G.I. Joe always had one.
Do you remember what these would retail for in stores?
I never saw them in stores because, you know, when you and I think when these tapes came out, they were coming out in like 85, 86.
So primarily we're looking at like video store, more or less. Like these probably didn't pop up too often in retail then.
Yeah, I believe me, if I had seen them at all in Kmart or Hills or anything like that, I would have been aching to buy it. But I never saw them at all.
And they probably would have been more considering the time period, like you were saying, like 85, 86, we're not too far into like the VCR revolution here. So those probably would have cost a pretty penny if they were in retail. Maybe once we post this, our buddy Eric Amon will pop in because he's a huge Joe fan. He probably remembers them being in retail if they were.
Yeah, I want to say I think probably around the $25 to $30 mark back then, which back in the 80s, that's a lot of money.
Hell yeah, it is.
For a VHS. I mean, I know like in a mail order form that was in the Rambo 3 movie magazine, they got Chuck Norris movies, Arnold movies, and Stallone movies. Some of them going for as much as $80.
That's crazy.
Because they were relatively new to VHS. So He-Man tapes and G.I. Joe and Thundercats would have been $25 to $30 a piece.
That's why back in the day, you just afford to have two VCRs and just record, like find a way to record it from the tape, like we used to do all the time.
I never got to do that, but I knew people who did. A guy at work with my mom knew I was a big fan of the He-Man movie and Red Sonja, so he double taped copies of Red Sonja and the He-Man movie for me, which I still own that He-Man tape to this day.
Oh yeah.
And my papa knew somebody who put on a VHS tape Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and Predator. So we would borrow that tape from my papa off so many times just to watch Predator.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times to watch Temple of Doom, and I just fast forward to Raiders of the Lost Ark because I just did not care for Raiders as a kid. It was all about Temple of Doom. But mainly just for Predator. I mean, because it was just awesome. Like, oh, we'd like to rent it. Can we watch it? So that was exciting to have double tapes, or people would bootleg their own copies of stuff and take it back to the video store.
Yeah, my parents used to just record off of HBO all the time. All the time. Like, there would be a tape that would have Lethal Weapon, Ghostbusters, and shit. I want to say, like, Dirty Dancing. What a combination, huh?
Yeah, I don't have to guess which one I would have fast-forwarded.
Yeah, that always sucked because it wasn't in that order either. I want to say it was Lethal Weapon, Dirty Dancing, and then Ghostbusters. So I was fast-forwarding through pretty much the entire – because as a kid, I'm like, all right, well, Lethal Weapon, whatever. Like, I want to watch Ghostbusters.
Yeah, because I actually didn't watch Lethal Weapon until I think I was in middle school or maybe even – maybe freshman year of high school. It was just a movie that I just, you know, because I didn't see it as like, you know, for me it was if you didn't know karate or have muscles, I wasn't really that interested. And you know, that Riggs and Murtaugh they're a great tag team of cops, but as a kid it just didn't impress me enough to want to sit down and watch it.
Same here.
You know,
to me seeing it, I was just like. And certain movies were different, but I would be like, this is too adult, you know?
Mm.
If that makes any sense, it kind of does, it kind of doesn't. There's not, see, like with Predator, it was different because there was something to like cling onto. There's like this weird, different thing that's not human. Here, it's just like a bunch of guys. To me, as a kid, it was just like, it's cop shit, whatever. Where's the Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's kind of how I was too. Like, because I felt like Arnold, Stallone, and Chuck Norris were above and beyond all that. Like, I could watch Chuck being trapped in, you know, in Vietnam as a POW, you know, to watch it now, it's, you know, there's not a whole lot of action. Like there's it's more about telling a story and eventually action builds up. But God, I was front and center for it because it was Chuck Norris, and that's all. You know, same thing with Rambo, and anything Arnold was in. You know, it's that they were. That's what sold me. And yeah, it took me a while to warm up to Mel Gibson. Danny Glover was a different story because Predator 2.
Right.
But yeah, I was the same way, and I like the Lethal Weapon series, but I don't hold it in the same regard, I think, as most people do.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's not because I saw it later in life. I'm like same thing with Back to the Future. Back to the Future is a great film, but I don't have that same fanboy mentality that film gets with pretty much the vast majority, because I feel like they make time travel to be a big pain in the ass as opposed to something really fun.
Right.
You know, but
I like Back to the Future. I like all three. I like all three of them, actually.
I didn't like the third one, and I've never seen all the second one.
Damn.
I've just seen pieces of it over the years. Well, yeah, But I do own the first one because I do like it. It's a great film. But I just don't have that same passion for the series like most people do. I feel like I'm in the vast minority when it comes to Lethal Weapon and Back to the Future. I own them. Great films, but
to me they're more of not something I choose to actively put in the player or click on any of the streaming stuff. It's like if you catch it on TV, you sit and you watch it kind of movie.
That's kind of what was with Back to the Future. Lethal Weapon, like, I know me and my dad, I think, a few years ago, when he was still living with me, I think we popped in and watched 1 and 2 back-to-back, because I think we were just both interested in watching. Or, no, he was. Like, he struck it. I was like, yeah, shoot, hell yeah, sit down and watch Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
So, because I do like the first one. I mean, the first one is a kick-ass film. I don't know the sequels as well, even though I've seen them all. I just don't know them well. I know the first one better.
I can tell you one thing. The Super Nintendo game sucks ass.
But it does.
It did.
Well, and tying it back to that, the G.I. Joe game for NES was hard as hell, and I didn't play the second one, which you own and still had the box.
Yeah. The second one I got, my aunt was working at Rose's at the time, and she used her discount, or my parents used her discount, rather, to get the game for me for my birthday. And it was at first it was really, really tough, but it was one like with most of those games, you just keep playing.
Yeah,
and it got a little bit easier, but that was also a game I never beat. The first G.I. Joe game I always wanted, but it was one of my dad's coworkers, my mom would babysit her kids. So we would go over there, and he had a Nintendo and had G.I. Joe, so I watched him play that. I always enjoyed the cover art for that game. It's just
a lot of the card
art.
Yeah,
with the white background, and we have, you know, Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes. Who else was on the cover?
Rock and Roll, Duke, and I want to say it, Captain Gridiron?
Maybe. I don't know.
Possibly. I know on the second one, it was General Hawk and his Sonic Fighter, the outfit that came with the Sonic Fighter look, and then you got Storm Shadow from Ninja Force, and the fourth version of Snake Eyes, which is arguably my favorite,
right,
next to the visor look. Because God, that was such a kick ass looking Snake Eyes. I don't know why people don't look at that more fondly.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's probably the least appreciated version of Snake Eyes. I think
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. But yeah, I need to go back and play both of those G.I. Joe games.
It was cool because I do remember that game. Like, you could pick like from any of the G.I. Joes, like anytime you wanted, or it was like a different Joe per level or something. It gave you the option. Like, you weren't like locked into either playing the same guy all the time, or you could switch up. It may have been something like playing like Silver Surfer or Mega Man. Isn't like Mega Man where you could pick any level you want, like any time?
Yeah, Mega Man, you can pick any level you want. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that first G.I. Joe game was set up something like that. I'm sure there's a YouTube video of like the actual like gameplay itself, which but I have gone back multiple times and watched the arcade gameplay because you set up on my computer years ago an emulator of that.
Yeah. I was trying to get that again, but it didn't want to play for me. I don't know what's messed up on there, but I do have the file. I need to just dig around some more because I got I got WrestleFest. So, so I'll have to do that next time you're over, and maybe I can find a way to like stream that, because that'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be a blast, dude.
I might have to mute my microphone here in a second.
Okay.
But is there any other things you want to attack on before we dive right on into the part one? Are you wanting to, like, are we going to end up watching all these parts, like, back to back to back to back? You want to just do that
the next few episodes? I want to. Have you watched it already?
I haven't watched all of it, no.
Okay. Well, I mean, I kind of base it on if it piques your interest. If it piques your interest and you like where it's going, I say, let's do it.
I think we should. I think we should with it. I'll just say it right now. I think we should. With it being five parts, it would be kind of nice to do it all.
And it's quite a serious tone to it as well. Like, it's there's nothing played for laughs. There's nothing silly. And like I said, man, you know, Cobra gets to win for multiple episodes to get you where you need to go, which is really refreshing. And you got so many, like I said, this first episode alone with all the new Joes in the first scene. And then you get all the new members of Cobra. I mean, it's so exciting. I mean, because I actually did get to see it. I think it was on VHS, but I don't think I like, because when Rhino Video was doing like the re-releases of the VHS tapes in the late 90s, I had one set, but I don't think I had, maybe I did, I can't remember. But on DVD, getting to watch it, I mean, it was just like, God, I wish I had it a long time ago.
Right.
Because it's a very well-written five-part storyline. I mean, it's so damn good. And that's another thing, too. Like, when you're watching it, you clearly see they're introducing new characters. And you could say, oh, this is a toy commercial. But they weave in the new roster of characters and mix them in with the old guard quite well, where you feel like you're getting a nice bag of what you're familiar with and then the new characters that were available on toy shelves at that time, too. And you don't feel like they're taking anybody else's spot. Like, it's exciting to see the Dreadnought shoes so much, and you're getting the new members, and you're getting Dr. Mindbender used a lot. You're getting all these new Joes mixed in with Flint and Alpine and Duke. So it's a great mix. It's very well done. And Sergeant Slaughter is such a pivotal part of the series as well, too. Like from this entire season and into the Deke series as well. God, I mean, I just love it.
Well, let's make that. Maybe in between. We can we'll do the Batman Beyond episode that was requested, and then we'll kind of go from there. If anything, we can always like do part one, do Batman Beyond, do part two, then do another thing, then come back, do part three, another thing. Then
alternate it.
Yeah, that way we eventually get it done, but we can throw some other stuff in between there.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
All right, man. Well, I guess without any further ado, go ahead and give us the countdown. Link is down below, so you guys can go ahead and click on that and watch along with us with the first part of Arise, Serpentor, Arise.
All right. 3, 2, 1, action. This beautiful opening sequence here of attacking the Terror Drome on the beach here, like storming the beaches of Normandy and bringing out the new roster of characters right front and center. Sergeant Slaughter punching the shit out of the monkey wrench. I love this.
Which actually, I took part of that image, and it's on here for the episode today.
Yeah, I picked that one. It was hard to find a lot of images from this, like that. Because when I post or advertise the podcast, I try to get very specific. I don't want to just throw out just generic images to sell the advertising. Like, I want to use specific images from that episode.
Right.
I might just have to go through and just like take screen caps of this episode because it's not much to choose from. But G.I. Joe always had the best intros in terms of like selling like the action, like this one and the one where they're attacking this giant Cobra ship and Zartan comes out in a trouble bubble. It looks so cool. But this was fun, this opening sequence of just seeing the Joes taking it easy and doing some leisure time and playing baseball and just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, you don't get much of that.
No, not too often. There's a few episodes where, like, the Viper is coming. You know, you get to see them doing a little R&R. But that shot of like, the four main lead Joes here which is good to establish, because as a kid, I assumed Duke was in charge, but you were just kind of confused because Flint was in charge sometimes, and then other times Duke was.
Right.
But this, after we see Leatherneck and Wetsuit, we established their kind of bantering friendship here. I like sci-fi and low-light. They're cool.
I think it's cool how they have, like, stuff set out like that and have it marked for, like, 300 yards, 400 yards.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Beachhead as a kid because I just liked the outfit. He looked badass. And this here, like, establishing right off, letting the kids know the lineup of who's in charge here. I thought that was important that they did that.
Well, it's kind of important not only that they do that, but since they're showing so many different characters, that they're calling them all by name as well. You don't have to sit and wonder, like, who the fuck is that?
Because they would do that a lot, and it was important to me to know. I mean, as a kid, when I would watch these, when a lot of season two would come out, I was familiar with pretty much most of the lineup, like Flipstream. I tell you right now. It was more about the ground guys, like, and here we are with Cobra Commander Destro getting ready to go into battle with the Bats. Yeah! God, I was such a fan of the Bats. I remember seeing a kid in daycare, came to daycare with Serpentor and a bat, and I lost my shit quietly. I'm like, oh my God, look at the hologram, like, emblem on his chest, and they were so cool looking. And I like these two, Dial Tone and Mainframe. Mainframe's my favorite of these two. He's got a really good episode where he has kind of a budding romantic relationship with Zorana, which is a really good episode I hope we get to cover sometime.
It's kind of cool how they give him names like Dial Up. Or Dial Tone. I don't know why I'm saying Dial Up. I'm thinking like internet now. So in my brain, I'm like, well, if they made it today, would they have a character named like Ethernet or something?
Yeah, it'd be just stupid. Like, at least for that piece of shit G.I. Joe movie, they did, like, Dial Tone was called Dial Tone. They didn't come up with anything else. Like,
they could have called him Dial Up and then, you know, had the whole Dial Up internet tone and made a joke out of it.
Yeah, and Brendan Fraser's like, oh, whoa! I like the stuns that are used here, right? They're a really cool vehicle. I like how General Hawk makes a point to pretty much say they're not that effective, like the his tanks are stronger. And here they call them Bats in full form. And we're seeing so many characters used right now, all in this action sequence. I like Roadblock's new look. That's probably my favorite look that Roadblock had was the outfit he's sporting right now. It's kind of setting up the reason why Serpentor is going to be created. But I like the idea that they're not that they follow the Cobra cause to the end. They just see that things should be done differently. And holy shit balls. Who the hell is this coming? Who is it, man? Who is it?
Who's the third man?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there you go. There's Destro, which I guess we can get into that story after we're finished with the episode.
Yeah, I'll tell that glorious story. Yeah, they really superhero up Sergeant Slaughter here. I mean, he's punches through walls. I mean, he's beating up robots with his bare hands. I mean, he's quite the star of this second season here, because he's used a lot. And I never saw him that much as a kid. Yeah. I don't recall seeing him in any episode, unfortunately.
I think,
aside from the movie.
Yeah, well, the main time that I would see him would, because he also did introductions for episodes at one point as well, right? Or was he just doing, like, the bumpers?
He did the opening and closings for the, when they would play the movie on TV, he'd had introductions and closings for each episode.
Ah.
Yeah.
So I would just see that and then occasionally see him in episodes, but this was around the time too that he like turned heel. So
yeah.
I'm not too confused, but I just it made it difficult to kind of get behind him in here.
I mean, I was still all for him in G.I. Joe, but as a wrestler, like, he's the ultimate heel, turning on America and challenging Hogan for the title. Like, I bought into it, but I would support him completely in G.I. Joe. And here's an introduction to Dr. Mindbender, which to me is always was always a staple. Like, I just always assumed he was there. You know, and as I got older and would go back and watch the entire series that I complete and not knowing that he wasn't introduced till season two, I mean, like, you know, I just always knew Cobra to have Dr. Mindbender. I'd never do him without. This whole lineup here, Destro, Mindbender, and the Crimson Twins, like, to me, they were always there. I never knew G.I. Joe without them.
Right.
And even though the Deke series went on, like, Destro's there, but a different look. Mindbender's not there. The Crimson Twins are not there. But it was just such a staple, even though they were pretty much discontinued characters. But they would be in the comic books, though. They used all these characters in the comic book series, which I knew of and only had a couple as a kid, not too many.
And now back to G.I. Joe. I'm glad they put those little bumpers on
yeah,
on the
DVD. They're classic. They're beautiful. And I like this. This here, like when Slaw's talking about, I got some new recruits. It makes me think of the Renegades that are in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it ties it together. Not that it was done that way, but when you watch it, you feel like that's who's at the slaughterhouse right now, that he's getting ready to train.
And when we met Sergeant Slaughter a few years back, did you really ask him too many questions about his work on here, or was it mostly wrestling-related questions?
No, all I asked him was about G.I. Joe. I didn't ask him a single thing about wrestling. I just wanted to do the recreation of WrestleMania 7. Like the promotional art of him and Hogan staring at each other.
Yeah.
But I asked him about the movie, and he didn't tell me a whole lot other than that he really enjoyed it, and he was there at the premiere and got to see Burgess Meredith. I don't think he said Don Johnson was there, but he spoke very highly of it. And I just, like so many times, you just kind of don't force it, but you just kind of go along with it. I mean, I could have asked so much more.
Right.
But, I mean, God, he was so big in person, a lot bigger than you think.
Yeah, he's way taller.
Yeah.
Than I ever would have imagined. And some people are just way shorter than I ever would have imagined.
Yeah. But wrestlers never cease to surprise. I mean, like, it's amazing just how really big they are in person. But this is an interesting sequence that we're seeing here of how Mindbender gets the idea. And I guess you connect this to the movie, which I like to think I appreciate the movie and I embrace the story, but I don't look at it as like permanent continuity.
Right.
Because if you watch this and see the movie, you see that he's having this dream due to the psychic motivator that Galopulus had sent to be placed, I guess, in his ear or something. I don't know how it happens. It's just kind of a bogus idea made to connect everything together. I would much rather believe that Mindbender just had the dream and the vision to do this. Slaughter looks awesome as a G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah. He fits in perfectly.
Yeah, and I know, like, in later years, they threw in Roddy Piper as a member of the Iron Grenadiers, like Destro's group. Matt Tracker from Mask is a kind of a honorary G.I. Joe. So kind of throwing in these different characters and... you know, if they had done that today, like G.I. Joe is, they're re-releasing for kids, the same characters going with the same thing, same size, everything.
Right.
But if they managed to throw in current day celebrities, would we buy it? I didn't know who the Fridge was as a kid.
Oh,
I just knew there was a G.I. Right. Joe, and he was called the Fridge, and he looks like a football player. He looks awesome. I don't care, but I want him.
Right.
I had no idea he was a football player for the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Not until many years later.
I'll throw you the question. If they were to do something like that nowadays, who would be your pick?
I mean, I was really intrigued when they were going to do, you know, a Stallone tie-in and have Rocky as a G.I. Joe, but it made more sense for
it
Rambo
really does.
To have been.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know why they were going to make Rocky like a G.I. Joe trainer, and Big Boa would have been his arch rival, who's a boxer
as well.
That
would have been cool, I guess.
It
but
would have
Rambo
been cool
makes way more sense.
Yeah, like I don't understand why.
Like John Matrix should have been a Joe.
Yeah, yeah. Tie that in, Chuck Norris. You know, in the Karate Commandos. Like, I mean, just making Chuck Norris as a member of G.I. Joe. That could have worked, but
Van Damme from Universal Soldier.
Oh yeah, I mean, God, you could have done so many cool things, like or have Frank Dukes. Since Frank Dukes was in the military and Bloodsport, you could have done that as well. But celebrities today, I don't know who they would have gotten because there's just really nobody.
John Cena, baby. John Cena.
I'm sure they would have thrown some bullshit shit wrestler.
The Marine.
Now, if it was like CM Punk as a member of Cobra or something like that, not that I feel like that fits, but...
Yeah. I mean, he does have the tattoo, after all.
Yeah, yeah. But I was curious because did kids when the fridge was introduced, and Sergeant Slaughter, who was a wrestler at the time, is brought in and made a concrete member of the Joe mythology. I assume it was pretty well received. But if they had done that today, I don't know if we would have looked as fondly upon these celebrities, the character that they play, and whatever it is, being made a member of the Joe team. I love this sequence here. But you know, we're talking over the conspiracy meeting here, which is just great. And Cobra Commander, Destra just never misses a chance to mock Cobra Commander at any opportunity.
I do like too how we got to change this episode of like the helmet to the hood.
Yeah, which happens a lot in the episodes where you may get both, you may just get one.
Yeah.
And I was, as a kid, I was more partial to the battle mask, and as I got older, I really appreciated the hood even more. Like I couldn't say I like one over the other because they're so genius in their design and so simple. But just how Cobra Commander just turns away and just goes along with the plan. And that's what he does throughout this entire series is that, and I like this little speech he gives Scrap Iron. In the comics, he's very intelligent. I mean, all the villains are. And they're pretty intelligent for the most part in the cartoon, but they are kind of cut down a little bit because the villains can't be, but, you know, so aggressive because the comics allowed him to be a lot more aggressive where people die.
Right.
In the comics,
obviously you couldn't do that in an animated series.
No, at least not in this kind of series, and definitely not at that time.
I'm surprised that they haven't.
The comics were marketed towards kids.
Yeah,
though.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to do more. Like, if they're gonna like reboot stuff in an animated form, why not just, especially if it's something like G.I. Joe, take it and make it appeal to the age that we are now. Have it have a little more adult content. There's Snake Eyes popping up for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Which seems to be the constant of him in the series. But in season one, he's used prominently in certain episodes, which we've covered, like Cobra's Creatures. He's used in a decent amount of time in that one. I like these Night Ravens here with the Strato Vipers driving them. Look how cool it is, like the small ship coming off. And
It's a good color scheme, too, but...
Oh, yeah, the black and red. Like, it's very slick.
Like, you know, granted, most of them aren't good, but you know how DC at least has animated films that come direct to why not do something like that with G.I. Joe? Didn't they kind of do something about 15 years ago? It's like early...
Mid to late 2000s. Yeah, it was G.I. Joe Resolute, which were like these like very, very short episodes. I think they were only like 10 or 15 minutes a piece. The animation looked great, but I hated the voice acting in it. They used like the same generic voice actor that plays Wolverine and Wolverine of the X-Men to play like Duke, which didn't fit at all, and a lot of the other voices, but it looked really, really good. I think everyone's favorite is the episode that's just about Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow fighting, which is a great fight sequence, but I just, that's what bothered me. It was the voice acting. If you don't have good voice acting, it takes me right out of it. But it looked really good, though. And they made figures from it, and they released it on DVD, and you can watch it on YouTube as well.
I like that little line there. I love a good cookout.
Yeah. Yeah, like what they've come upon this delivery, which is this communique to Zartan, which is a great way of like bringing in the Dreadnoks, because we got some new members of the Dreadnoks being introduced here. This kind of amps up the scale of the Joe team. Yeah. You know, you just kind of feel like this is going into so many more details here. There's Iceberg there, Leatherneck with Quick Kick mixed in. Yeah, it's I think Sergeant Slaughter is barely used at all in the comics. I mean, he's pretty much an obsolete character, which is kind of odd. So it clearly sounds like it was something that Hasbro was all behind, but I don't know how much control Larry Hama had over. I mean, he wrote the stories and everything, and included, I'm sure, characters and toys that were being used at the time. But Sergeant Slaughter is barely in it.
Yeah, there's probably just like a thing. It's like, oh, we don't really want to use him, and Hasbro's like, oh, well, we got something set up with him. We'll make it work. I've always enjoyed the look of Zartan.
Yeah, as a kid, I could never tell if that was his hair or a hood. I just always got confused because it would just kind of flow like hair, right. But it's clearly a hood. Yeah. But I loved the character. I loved his voice. My brother was a big fan of Zartan in particular. Like, I think that was his. But we kind of shared a lot of the common favorites. But I think Zartan and Firefly were big favorites of his. Where I was Storm Shadow and Destro. And we both loved Cobra Commander. But we all loved all members of Cobra. And we loved the Dreadnoks. Like, we both loved Xander, Zartan's brother, a lot. I always thought Zarana was really cool. I just thought she was a great female character.
Man, if I could just... properly grow facial hair, man. Just put some aviators on. There we go. Done.
That I you know, actually, before you said it, actually, it's like I see Nathan a monkey wrench here. You get that in an Aussie accent going, man. You can make Emily Zarana.
Yeah, there we go.
And you say, you bloody dingo. And here's Thrasher. I like Thrasher. He's got a cool look. Thrasher. All the Dreadnoks. Like, I don't think there's one member of the Dreadnought team that doesn't fit. Right. Like, they all look like a cohesive unit. Like, you don't feel like there's one weak link in the chain of Dreadnoughts. Like, in this one, we get four new Dreadnoughts in this one episode.
And they just look fucking cool. Like, they have
all of them.
They have that. It's a good blend of, like, Mad Max.
Yeah.
And, shit, I don't know.
Bikers, Mad Max, like current day bikers, but they got a mix of Mad Max here. Like, you see Road Pig, who's introduced in 88, and he's wearing a lot of Mad Max gear in that one. And this is such a cool team up here. Slaughter, Beachhead, and Lowlight. You got a sniper, you got a ranger, and you got Sergeant Slaughter, dude.
Well, I think that's like an all-around team, you know? You got your long distance, your mid, and your close range guy.
Yeah. That's what's so fun about it, is you kind of feel like, well, they've got like four or five guys that are flamethrower experts. Like, who cares? Like, it's great to have multiple options of rangers and snipers and things. And holy shit, here comes a Thunder Machine, which is a kick-ass vehicle.
Yeah,
I love how the Dreadnoks reside in the swamps. Like, I just think it's such a great, it looks awesome in the comics too. Zartan's got this small cabin in the swamps.
Yeah, I'm going to have
to. It's like in the Everglades of Florida.
I'm going to have to get my Joes from my parents and have you come over and we'll dig through them. Because I wish I had more from like 85 to 90, but most of mine are like 89 to like 92. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and they're not too, but if you don't mind, they're not, you know, complete. You know, I think you can get, you know, a lot of the 80s G.I. Joes. I mean, of course, if you want like Storm Shadow or something like that, you are going to pay a little bit, even if he's got nothing with him, but still. And the 25th anniversary lineup of figures that came out in the mid-2000s, which I bought a bunch of, when those came out. Like those, even those, like, you know, you pay a little bit, but nothing major, and they all look great. Yeah. They're fully articulated. I picked up a bunch of those and made a little diorama
room of that. Yeah. You used like the, what was it? Was it the Robin Hood?
Yeah, the Robin Hood place. Yeah. I bought that off of eBay specifically for the Joes,
which is
to set up a,
which is also like reused as that was like the Ewok.
Yeah, the Ewok village, just modified a little bit. Yeah, which was an awesome playset.
Damn,
because I wanted that so much as a kid.
These episodes just go by so fast.
Yeah.
Like we start talking about what's going on, and then we start kind of talking a little bit about some of the other shit, and before we know it, episode's over.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when we have fun, dude. And, you know, that's why they fly by for us. We're watching quality shit here, man.
Well, hopefully it flies by just as well for everyone else that tunes in and watches. I'm going to say, let's go ahead. Let's do the next episode of Capes and Commentaries. We will do part two. And then the following one, we'll go ahead and do that episode of Batman Beyond that was requested.
Oh, I love it, dude.
And then after that, we'll do part three.
Yeah.
Well,
we could even do for like one of these, we could do part three and four together, like we did with the trailer.
Well,
we watched them back to back.
Well, I was going to say, since they're all here on the same disc and everything, it makes it way easier. Yeah, if you want to make it like an extended or shit, you know, we can always do part two and three together and then part four and five together.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so the next time you guys catch us on here, we'll come at you with part two and part three.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do. Now, before we wrap this up, Tyler, let's go ahead and let's hear that Destro story.
I was just to let you know, like I downplayed my hype for the GalaxyCon because you just don't know how you're going to get treated. But Arthur Burkhart, the voice of Destro, was in my top three of people I really wanted to meet, and I met him last, and there was one person in this line, some like very very small girl. I assume she was probably like 17, 18 if she was that, because she was so tiny. And they were talking about something that definitely was not G.I. Joe. I don't know what it was. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I was like, hurry the hell up, girl. I'm going to get his autograph and talk to him about playing Destro. So while they're talking and stuff, I paid for his autograph, and I say that if you want an exact quote of something that he says in cartoons, you can pay $10 and you can get that, okay? So the Alan Oppenheimer experience will not be repeated because I'm paying specifically for a quote. $10 on top of purchasing an autograph and a picture. And when the girl finally leaves, Arthur's really distraught and is just talking to himself about how girls are abused by their fathers and calling them motherfuckers and looking at me as if like I knew what he was talking about. I just kind of nod my head. I'm like, oh my God, like Destro's cussing at me, but he's not cussing at me, but he's cussing in front of me and just talking. I'm like, I have no idea where it was coming from. And I looked at his handler. We just kind of looked at each other like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. And he was so persistent. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm standing here what feels like 10 minutes listening to him go on about how women are abused. And he was telling me about some girl was dressed up as Carrie, and as she was talking to him, she went through three or four different emotions while talking to him, and he goes, you're going to be a great actor. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but okay. And I just go along with it, because he's talking to me as if like I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of like breaks down, and I swear it looked like he was going to start crying at one point. And I'm just staring at them like I could not feel like I was in my mind. I felt like I'm ready to just walk away from this table. Just forget the money. I don't care. I just want to get out of here. But I toughed it out. And before he even acknowledges me or when he does kind of sit down, he's just kind of. And I said, Arthur, are you okay? He goes, no, I'm not. I'm tired. I want to be at home. And I'm like, oh, my God, like I'm inconveniencing this guy. And then a guy comes by to ask him, hey, Arthur, can I get you anything? He's like, yeah, I don't like my coffee. It's just terrible. They didn't fix it the way that I wanted it. It's not right. He's like, all right, I'll take care of it. And he's like this. And they say, yes, and I want this and this in it. He's like, I'll take care of it. I'm like, I'm the last person on this planet, apparently, or I don't even exist on this planet. I don't know what to think at this point, because all this is still going on, right. And he's still not even saying, what can I do for you, sir, or how are you today? What is your name, sir? Like, none of that has happened.
He's just
and I'm leaving out, like, if you guys could really, because I feel like Nathan and Emily were at least standing behind me for maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, we were leaning up against the wall that was probably like a good 15, 20 or so feet back and sort of like diagonal from you. So I didn't hear, I couldn't hear anything, but I saw you just standing there with him. And when you guys started talking, I looked at her and I was like, man, it must really be going well. Nope.
Yeah, it was absolutely uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. And then when he got ready to sit down and he tells his handler, okay, what are we doing here? And then he says, okay, give him another autograph, no charge. And then he sits down and says, okay, what are we doing on this? And I said, well, I'd like to put a quote on this one here. And then I tell him what the quote was. He's like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, my God. It's Allen Oppenheimer all over again. I paid $10 to guarantee.
Yeah, because it's there specifically put, like, pay $10 more and get the quote. What was the quote?
The quote was, premature panic is the sign of an immature mind. And I just don't think it was that long. And really what it was is that he just writes really big.
Yeah.
Is what I came to find out. And I guess all these people, these things, they just assume they're just going to write to Jack Mehoff. Signed, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that is it. They just don't expect you to want anything anymore.
Just to your name, regards, and then they sign it.
Yeah. And that's it. And so I gave him the quote, and I felt really uncomfortable because he just kind of made such a stink about it. But then he writes it in silver. He asked me what color I wanted. And I'm just kind of standing there because you just felt like, oh, my God, what the hell have I got myself into? So I'm not asking him about playing Destro or voice acting or anything that I had intended to ask him. I'm just trying to get through getting this autograph. And then he finishes writing it. And then I realized the problem was, because he says, I don't know if I could fit it because the way he writes. Right. And then he writes his name and Destro and Cobra all in the same 8x10. So he just, it's like, well, no wonder, dude, you write so damn big.
Right.
And then he gives me the other one. And then he says, well, what's your name? And I said, it's Tyler. And then he, okay. And he goes to Tyler, you know, Cobra, Arthur, Bernhardt, Destro. And he says, all right, hope you enjoy it. I appreciate it. And then his handler says, oh, he gets a picture too. And he goes, oh, no. I'm like, oh, my God, man.
He just didn't want to do anything for you.
No, and I don't know what about, because I thought about wearing this tank top.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it would have made any difference, you know?
Yeah, he just would have looked at him and been like, oh, no.
Yeah. I just felt like, you know, and I had seen in an interview, like, or he'd done, like, some Q&As at conventions before. He hasn't done many of these.
Right.
Like, he's just now starting to do the con circuit within the last 3 years. But I guess, you know, he'd been there since Thursday. This was Saturday, and I guess he just had
yeah,
enough.
Just burnout, ready to go.
Just burnout already, and I felt the full force of it. But he got up, and he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a tall dude.
He's a tall dude, and so he's okay. Let's make sure we get ourselves right here. Just make sure you get the banner, because he wanted to make sure, like, it was picture quality, the banner and everything that you could see, you know, who he was and who he played. All behind us, and we take, I think, 4 or 5 pictures, and he kindly says, you know, all right, I'll check them up, make sure they look good. We want to make sure you get some good pictures. It was like his demeanor, he just changed within seconds. Like, it changed while we were doing the autograph. He finally calmed down, and then when he realized he had to get it for a picture, then he got mad again. And then when we took the pictures, he calmed down again. And he was so polite to me while we were taking the pictures and shook my hand and thanked me with a big smile on his face. Like, what the hell just happened?
So you didn't ask him anything?
No. Not a single damn thing.
Meanwhile, and I was sitting there thinking it's going well, and then when you meet up with him, I'm like, "Hey, man, how'd it go? It looked like it went well." And you're just like, "You got both."
I'm like, "What the fuck was that?"
You got both of the 8x10s in your hands, and you're just staring at me all wide-eyed, like, "I don't know what the fuck just happened."
Yeah, it was. I would say probably the most indescribable experience I think I've had at a convention. I've had some bad moments. I've had some absolutely out of this world moments.
You just don't know what to make of that one.
I don't know what to make of it. I got a free autograph. He did write the quote that I paid for begrudgingly. He took pictures with me multiples begrudgingly.
Oh no.
Yeah, he just acted like everything that I was just going by the rules. I think like he had taken a break early in the day because we walked right past where he was at and he wasn't there.
Right.
And the Baroness was there and so was Storm Shadow.
Right.
And no one was at their tables. And but by that point, I'm like, I want to get the hell out of here.
and it
took me a while to kind of calm down from like the shitty Pauly Shore experience.
Right.
The unbelievable Judith Hogue experience,
right.
The great Will Friedle experience, and then I got this, I don't know what the hell to make of
yeah.
it. But it makes for a memorable story because this character that has been with me for so long since childhood was cussing and fussing about coffee and girls being abused and motherfucker and gives me a free autograph, but you know.
Still know what to make of it.
Yeah, I still don't, but those 8x10s were beautiful. They look great. I've yet to put them in frames because I have yet to go by Walmart and buy frames for them. Hell, my Turtles poster still has not been put up.
Yeah, I need to put my Turtles poster up too.
I never posted the pictures on Facebook because I was just so like dismissive about the whole thing. I was so depleted from the experience.
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to share it. I didn't really want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I told Tom, I was like, hey, let's just record like a podcast real quick just to cover the experience. But I think it was the best way to do it. We talk about Destro on this. Maybe, we talked about Pauly Shore on Fans of Power, right? I think.
Yeah, we did. And it was just, you know, such a shit experience too. But Judith Hogue was a sweetheart to me and Nathan.
Yeah.
And Will Friedle was what I thought he was going
to
be.
Yeah,
which was
open around. He's not sitting down. He's talking to everybody. Like,
yeah.
Hey, how's it going? You liking the con? Like, what do you think of everything? And just those are the good experiences.
Yeah. And then I met Edward James Olmos, which was good. But then he cut me short, which kind of threw me off because they were trying to move the line along, which made me feel like I was being dismissed. Because in the moment when I'm asking him, I'm like, all right, I'm making headway. And like, okay, let's take the picture. I'm like, oh, shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just got cut off, and which was...
Yeah. And
It just makes you feel like, you know... And I don't know. I've had so many good experiences where they will welcome conversation about their career and they will talk to you like Judith Hogue talked to me, Nathan, both each individually for a long time.
Yeah. So much so
Will Friedle.
Well, we had there was a line forming behind us with her.
Yeah. But you could tell like her handler kept looking, but Judith was focused on just talking to me and nobody else. And when it was Nathan's turn, talking to him and Emily and nobody else.
Yeah. I tried to kind of pull you back into the conversation too. As you were standing there, I asked her about the NECA stuff, since NECA's putting out a lot of merchandise for the movie, if they had reached out to her about using her likeness to make a figure, and she said that they hadn't yet. That, you know, there is a price tag involved, so hopefully NECA will honor that, because that would be great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't see why they wouldn't. I kind of feel like she'll probably be hearing about it sometime in the near future, because, you know... I just don't see them not doing an April O'Neil figure from the movie.
Yeah. So we'll see.
But
we'll see how maybe something will come down the pipeline with that.
Yeah, but fortunately too, it didn't destroy my appreciation for G.I. Joe by felt like I was cut down by the voice of Destro.
That's what I was worried was going to happen.
Yeah, so was I, but I actually watched some G.I. Joe the next day, and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm not really fazed by this. I think probably because I just kind of put it out of my mind, even though my mood was really down. But it has not affected my passion for G.I. Joe. I felt a bit disgruntled after when we met the cast of Fright Night, and it wasn't as great that first night. And it kind of left a sour taste in my mouth watching Fright Night because Chris Sarandon was so weird to us, and William Ragsdale was playing on his phone to the point where Billy Cole, the actor who plays Billy Cole, had to like, dude, get off your phone, man. You got people waiting on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of unprofessional.
Made me feel a little uncomfortable. Right. So you just kind of feel like, God, man. So I don't want that to happen, you know, where you have a bad experience with somebody. Like, I don't want to feel like I can't watch Encino Man without thinking of Pauly Shore. I'm having two very unenthusiastic moments meeting Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
So,
which mine's counterbalanced because I met Sean Astin and he was nice and answered and talked to me about everything I want to talk to him about, even when his handler was sitting there trying to rush me along. I even looked at her. I was like, yeah, hang on a second.
Sit the hell down here.
Hey, lady, I'm getting my shit in, all right? You just got to deal with it. So, yeah, I'm gonna hang that somewhere because it definitely – and I think – and we talked about this before. I think that's just how Pauly Shore is. I think that's just his personality. He's so over the top and everything, like in the early night and all the movies that he was in. But I just think as a person, he's kind of an asshole. So I think that's just what it is. I mean, he did the picture with me. And the picture looks awesome. He did the quote, which isn't much, but you know, Sean Astin wrote a lot, which I'm like you now. I'm like, anytime it's something more than two words, I'm afraid that, oh shit, they're gonna be like, this is too much.
Make a statement. What are you doing, man? Yeah.
But I'm starting to think too that because these cons are starting to go up in price, and everyone's wanting to jump on the bandwagon. Most people don't. From what I gather, most people don't give a shit to really talk to him about stuff like you and I do. They probably get it. Yeah, they probably get it a little bit, but not as much. Most people are just like, oh my god, oh my, it's nice. Holy shit, it's nice to meet you. Oh yeah, to Patrick, blah blah blah. Sign, like regards, all the best.
Yeah, now please get the hell out of here. Step to the side. Yeah. You know, where you're treated like cattle.
Yeah.
All right, move on. Right. Keep moving. Yeah. Keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, look, I get that you guys are trying to get as many people in here, but if you're asking these kind of prices, damn it, I'm going to get my time with this actor or actress, man.
I think the only thing that's really going to pull me back to want to go to one of these is if John Carpenter is there, if Robert Englund's there, and I go ahead and get my ticket ahead of time because I know that he's amazing with everybody that comes and meets him, so... probably one of those two, or if Kurt Russell decides to show up to anything, which I imagine that will probably be brief, but that would still be cool to meet the man.
Oh god, I just don't know if I could.
They were like, all right, Carl Weathers is coming, you'd have to go, but it would have to be someone of that caliber to get you to. But I can see your hesitation, because what if you meet them and they suck, and then it just sort of ruins everything going forward. Kids, don't meet your heroes.
Well, see, that's what worries me, is that, you know, you feel like, you know, say hypothetically, Carl Weathers is announced for GalaxyCon next year, and nobody else I could give two shits about, but just Carl Weathers, which I'd do whatever it took to meet Carl Weathers, period. Yeah. I would just love to ask him about his workout routine, you know, or what he did for Action Jackson, working on Predator and Rocky. Just working out alone, let alone the stuff he's done in the films.
Right.
But you're conditioned now, like, I can't ask him anything because I'm going to be looked at for being a weirdo or I'm being rushed. And then when you get up there and he acts as like, so, you know, so tell me about you big fan, or if they start interacting with you, then you're lost because you're conditioned to not to feel like you can't ask anything. And then when they do address you and make you feel like your presence is wanted and appreciated, then you feel like, I could have asked him something, but I was always made to feel like we don't have time.
Yeah.
Or it's not, they don't care to actually answer a question about something that they did. You know? And that's what worries me. That's kind of how I was going into GalaxyCon. And then when Pauly Shore shuts me down pretty quickly, I'm like, well, oh my God, like, I got a long ways to go. I may be shot down every time after this now. You know? So you just kind of feel like, man.
And that just goes back to the thing. Like, I'm sorry, you're paid to be there, and people are paying you to interact with you. So to me, that is, you're at work. Like, be professional. Don't just sit here and, like, shut people down or be a diva because, I am someone of celebrity. Who the fuck are you? Like, that's not how this works. So, yeah, I don't foresee us really going to any more of these unless someone of a caliber of a Carl Weathers or John Carpenter or someone is close by.
Yeah, it's going to have to be something that, honestly, Judith Hogue and Destro were like the two, and then whenever James Olmos was announced, I'm like, all right, oh my God, like, that has to happen too. But, unless it's something like Carl or Dolph Lundgren or something, hell, even Chuck Norris, I'm done. I'm retired from it. Yeah. These people mean so much to me. More than I think they do to most people, and it's not to say that they're not fans, but I just hold these characters that they played in such high regard. They've given me so much joy over and over and over again. I'm 35 years old and I'm still revisiting their work multiple times, and I just really want to say I thank you, and I just want to ask you about this, and then I'll move along. And when I feel like I can't even do that without feeling like my presence and the money that, you know, I earned, worked hard for, and just wanted to ask you something about one film.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for that. I got to get over here and fart or something like that. You know, I just, which is what Pauly Shore made me feel like. After he signed it and, you know, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then he stepped away from the table and left me hanging out. Okay, I guess I'm done here.
It was
just really disheartening, man. And it might be my fault because I just have this affection for these characters and the actors that played them so much, and I guess I just care too much, and because I care too much,
yeah. But vulnerable. Yeah, but it's not like you're psycho fan going up to him like in hysterics or anything. Like, you're going up.
No, I do have a great track record of actually having some interesting conversations with a lot of the people that me and Nathan have met,
right.
But when the bad ones start piling up even more, you do feel like I'm scared to do it because that's money, you know, money wasted.
Well, not
to
mention the prices are going up for, like, people just think that, oh, I was famous 30 years ago. Well, that's $85. It's like, you should probably be about 40 or 30, maybe 20.
Honestly, 20 for, I mean, in general, I think 30, 40 at the max.
Yeah.
I mean, but now 40 is kind of the minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a lot of these people, right? Which is sad.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a shame.
I mean, it's scary. That just kind of leaves me for, like, you know, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm right
there. And I hate that.
Oh, I mean, I do too, but I'm right there with you. So we'll see what Mad Monster looks like and see what they get lined up for GalaxyCon next year, but count us out.
Yeah,
at least for now.
It's gonna
have to take somebody to really draw us in.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, and I know that. Oh, that's why you need to limit the damn tickets. If you feel like, you know, you got to rush everybody along, then have a set amount for each actor for that day, and if they sell out, then that's all they're gonna do.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like it's not. I know that these assholes who run these things, they just love charging out the ass because others have gotten away with it. Well, we're going to do it too.
Yeah.
I get it from a business standpoint,
right.
But you know, if you're going to treat the guests like they don't have time and they're just made to feel like, okay, beat it, you know, or they're going to take a cattle prod to your armpit if you don't move fast enough, you know.
Right.
So
yeah,
okay, it just really saddens me.
Especially when you think about, like, that first year we went to Mad Monster and how cheap everybody and how we were having like 15-20 minute conversations with everybody that we went and talked
to.
And it's not like that anymore. Granted, that was like a first year con. That was like the first time they had ran that, and that's grown quite a bit as well, to the point,
but still disorganized.
Yeah, still just disorganized, and they can't get their shit together. Yeah, you would think after this many years, because that's been what, like 7 years now, 8 years.
I think we went to that one in 2012.
Yeah, so 7 years.
And, yeah, 7 years
yeah,
ago.
They still can't figure out like how a line fucking works. And yeah, you got problems.
Yeah. Or hiring people to help out who don't know jack shit.
Yeah, don't know jack shit. I guess they just show up and they're like, well, here's your shirt. You're going to stand right here. Okay.
Be as angry and awkward as you possibly can to the guest.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, people, you bring in people who really don't give two shits about being there. Like, why do you agree to fly cross country just so you can sit at a table, charge $40
for an autograph? And be miserable the whole time.
And be miserable the whole time. Like
just don't show up.
Yeah, just cancel. Yeah, cancel.
Be like, hey, I got a film project. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or I haven't shit in 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm really constipated.
The pills aren't working. Yeah. Suppositories aren't working. They just keep falling out of my ass.
And I can't shove enough shit in my ass to get the shit out of my ass. Right, here. Right. Just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right.
Dude, you don't have to give me a logical excuse. Just say you're not going to show up if you're going to sit there and pull a Tom Savini.
I don't want to get into Savini again. He's a jerk. Anyway, Tyler, any other things that you got on your mind before you wrap her up and shut her down for another episode?
I don't know what else to say here.
Be on the lookout for that sound wave.
Yeah, be on the lookout for sound wave. You know, hopefully we'll be hearing, you know, when we do another episode, we'll have an idea of who's coming for Thundercats. Yep. I know there's the Snake Eyes movie is in pre-production right now, and it's set for 2020 release, which is next year. But if they're in pre-production still, I don't know how the hell that's going to happen.
Just cheap and fast. Maybe I'll watch Retaliation tonight.
Why? I don't know,
because I haven't seen it, and I know it's better than the first one.
Yeah, but that's like saying, you know, the really bad diarrhea you had yesterday.
And I don't mind The Rock too much. We'll see where it goes.
The Rock playing Roadblock, and The Rock is the leader of the G.I. Joe team.
It's mostly just to piss you off. Did you see that they put that Rocco movie on Netflix? I watched it last night.
I kept thinking, no. I haven't checked Netflix in a while, when I watched some of Stranger Things. Okay, I would see stuff where it pop up, and I assume, hey, it's coming, but I just didn't know it was already available.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes long. It might have some stuff in it that you might be like, why are they shoehorning this? But it's a good way to look at, they're kind of wondering where the 90s went to, and there's a lot of little fun little jabs at how shit is today. So it's enjoyable. I wouldn't say it's like...
I'll definitely check it out.
I wouldn't say
then.
It's like super, super amazing, but it's got a lot of chuckle-worthy stuff in it.
Yeah, I'll check it out then.
All right.
Since now that I know. I feel like I've... As much as I keep up with entertainment, things that are coming out, I feel like I'm so far removed from a lot of things.
I'm kind of getting that way myself, actually.
Yeah. I just kind of stay in my bubble and rewatch old stuff and just pay my bills and look for cool things to buy if I can afford it. Right. Look for new tank tops, go to the gym, play He-Man for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And
do the podcast.
Do the podcast and start it all over again. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, it's starting to sink now. I'm like, shit, I'm going to wake up and I got to deal with these idiots again. Shit.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, like my workload is like I worked over today. I'll probably do it tomorrow. Well, and then I'm back to my regular.
Yeah, college kids are back, man.
Yeah, starting next week, they start coming back to the dorm. So I'm back. We'll be back to get up at 5:30 in the morning.
Ugh. Nope.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. So just look at it that way. At least you get to sleep in.
That's true.
You know, yeah. And then go to work later on in the day. But I would wake up at 5:30 every day to have my evenings off. So
yeah, I'm kind of thinking about turning to the dark side and seeing if there's any first shift availabilities.
I just don't know how you continue the rest of your life, keep constant working the night shift like you do.
I don't know. Something about it, I guess. I don't know. Well, we'll go ahead and tie a nice little bow on this episode. It's been a lot of fun. We hope you had fun, too. And if you did enjoy, like the video, leave a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts on the whole five-parter. maybe some your convention horror stories. If you are new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe and ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. Check out all the links down below. You can hit Joe up for a custom and buy one of his t-shirts, or check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast hosted by Tyler Baker, Joe Amato, and myself. You can find that at youtube.com/fansofpowerpodcast. And you can download us on Podbean and iTunes. And I want to, once again, throw that out there as a suggestion. You guys hop on over to the YouTube channel. Give us a sub. Support the channel. YouTube.com/BeyondRetroPodcast. Tyler, it's been a pleasure.
Certainly has, and I enjoy this immensely, and I hope everybody else did too, from the highs and lows of this episode and moving on to. If you got a G.I. Joe episode you want us to review, throw it at us.
Throw that out there. You know? We already got Batman Beyond as a request. You guys got a specific Joe episode or anything else, let us know down below. And until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past.